You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The collapse of the credibility of the Conservative Party as a right-wing party has left a political vacuum in which dozens of minor competing factions exist, each attempting to stake out its claim to represent the traditional people of Britain. This has allowed pseudo-right-wing grifters to adopt a dissident mantle that will still allow them to cut a respectable figure on the Westminster dinner circuit, and it seems that this won't change in the near future unless the right can stop debating the details of the issues and settle upon a general set of demands which can form the core of a political movement. I think there are 5 points upon which there is consistent agreement on the British right that will put our civilization back on the road to security and prosperity. Firstly, and most importantly, I think that the right can agree that we will not apologise for Britain. Instead, we are proud of it. We wear the scars of our history with pride and display them openly, and this enhances our patriotism. We approach our own civilization with goodwill and deal with it in good faith. And we accept what it is in the same way one accepts the flaws of a beloved member of the family. We might have wanted things to be otherwise, but the choice was not ours to make. To paraphrase Oliver Cromwell's reply when asked if he should be beautified for a portrait, no, paint us warts and all. We believe that our ancestors were decent people who did the best with what they have, as we have done with what we have, and as we shall expect the same from our children and grandchildren. We are not embarrassed by our flaws, and shame on the man who thinks he would have acted better in our circumstances. We embrace the good and the bad of our history and apologise for nothing. Secondly, we believe that immigration is destroying our nation. Despite the continual resistance of the British public to mass immigration, we have had millions of strangers imposed upon us by our political class. This has to end. There are many layers to the negative consequences of mass immigration, many of which are finally being accepted by the establishment. Without our consent, the average working man and woman in Britain has had their wages depressed through the flooding of the labour market and put the price of a house out of their reach. Immigration has also destroyed the British high street. In areas of high immigration, foot traffic changes, and this impacts the stores owned by the natives, which go out of business, leading to the general hollowing out of our civilization as the newcomers either send money abroad or spend it in ethnic minority shops rather than spending it in what previously existed. And this is to say nothing of the massive amount of public expenditure that is required to cope with the demand put on the NHS, the disproportionate welfare dependency, and the difficulty of overburdened infrastructure, which are all severe consequences that affect people's daily lives. And all of this is being paid for by the British taxpayer, and it is costing us billions. But these are just the negative effects that immigration has on the material layer of our existence. There is also the question of what this has done on higher, more spiritual levels. We were never asked if we wanted the largest cities in England and our own capital to be minority English. We were never asked for London, Birmingham, Luton, or anywhere else to be flooded with foreign peoples who come simply to prop up an economic fiction. The psychic damage this has done to the people of this country is incalculable and irredeemably cruel. How dare you do this to us? We do not feel safe in our own country anymore. That is not how it was for our parents and grandparents, and this is not the world we wish to pass down to our children. And whenever we did have any opportunity to tangentially vote on the issue, we voted soundly against it, every single time. And yet on this issue, the electorate has been consistently betrayed. We now live in a country where somewhere between one-fifth and one-quarter of the population are of foreign stock, with apparently no end in sight to this trend. This will amount to the destruction of Britain, beginning with England, but, like a creeping cancer, eventually extending to all of the other constituent nations. This has to stop, and there will be no ifs or buts about it. Thirdly, I think the right broadly agrees that the constitutional reforms of New Labour have to be wholly reversed. The Blair government undertook a very subtle and far-reaching political revolution in the late 90s and early 2000s, which has captured the entire political system and transformed the opposition parties into copies of New Labour itself through a complex network of incentives, quangos, legislation, and foreign institutions which have been grafted onto our native living constitutional settlement. The Blair government legislated as if all the demons of hell were snapping at their feet, passing on average over 2,500 new laws every year, which is almost 7.5 a day, because they had a vision to turn this country into something it wasn't. And the result of this madcap rush to get everything done was, as David Starkey put it, to Americanize the United Kingdom and turn our political system into a behemothic Frankenstein's monster of a state, which can only move sluggishly in one direction, compounding old problems with more of the same, and conceptually incapable of perceiving alternative avenues of political decision-making, and criminalizing discourse outside of its own framework. I think the British right broadly agrees that what this country needs is a restoration of the political order prior to 1997, before what the New Labour government had inflicted upon us. Fourth, the right believes that traditional Christian family values are the correct and proper way to support children and raise a family. I don't believe I need to labour this point extensively, but it seems that new woke fads concerning parenting and families are for the benefit of narcissistic adults and not for the benefit of the children who have to suffer under them. This is not an acceptable state of affairs, and it is evident that the core of family life which is most beneficial for children is a married, two-parent household with a father and a mother who live in generally traditional roles which complement each other and create a secure and loving environment in which the children can flourish. Gender ideology and its consequences have been a disaster for children and families, and this, of course, has to be root and branch removed from public life. In its place needs to be a restored faith in the family and the teleology of life. I believe the fifth and final point on which the British right finds universal agreement is that the education of our children has been perverted to turn them against our civilization itself, and this too must be corrected. T.S. Eliot observed that a culture reproduces itself by transmitting its values from one generation to the next through education, which is the process by which the community opens up social life to each person and enables them to take their part in it. If we take this standard to be the metric by which we measure the success of contemporary education, we see that it is actually highly dysfunctional and seems to poorly equip young people for anything. Moreover, it appears that British education is producing an entire generation of young people who essentially hate their own civilization. And this is perhaps not unwarranted, given the way that we are governed and how the system has failed them. If they are taught to hate the country that created them, then it is an easy thing for them to do, to look at the failing state of this country and become resentful of it. To be proud of who and what they are, our children must be educated in a proper manner befitting a self-confident and self-aware people. It seems to me that the right generally agrees that we ought to educate our children to become what C.S. Lewis described as men with chests, that is, people who are educated in such a way as to nurture their capacity to love their country, to see how their country merits this love, and why they should feel that they belong to it, and that it belongs to them. This is their country, not someone else's, and they need to be reminded of that. We believe this needs to be done because we are the custodians of our heritage, who are formed by it and carry it with us through our lives. If we consider ourselves to be good people, it is because of the virtues instilled into us by the civilization which raised us. As such, we should not only treat it with respect and reverence, but hand this down to those who come after us. That this has not been done reveals that an evil will has taken control of the educational system and perverted it against its true purpose. This must change. Naturally, much of this project entails a wholesale rejection of progressive liberal ideology, which makes adopting a truly conservative political worldview difficult and unpalatable to anyone who seeks acceptance in the Blairite political sphere. The Westminster types are unprepared to step through the media firestorm that will erupt if they were to speak significantly out of line on any of these issues, and so they remain like whipped dogs afraid to draw the ire of their masters. Until they are ready to confidently step through the fire and emerge on the other side of it, then they will forever be hemmed in by a political order that is gradually erasing them from existence. This, I believe, means that the British right needs to unify, to choose new champions who can carry this message to the public. I think we need to put aside personal grievances for the sake of the country itself and choose those respectable figures who have already stepped through the inferno of progressive media outrage and are willing to stand with their heads held high on these values and advance this agenda in the face of enemy fire. We can then act as a chorus which amplifies this message far and wide and helps put it in the consciousness of the average man or woman. We must vote for real substantive change. The old parties are all captured, and we must choose something new. It seems to me that then the currently dispersed energy of the right could indeed come together to make significant gains and begin a movement that will roll back the destruction of our country. But first we have to commit to that upon which we already agree. It will take a long time, but after enough effort has been put in, it seems inevitable that we will win.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.